you may be around the world, and thank you for your company once again on truth2u.org. That's truth, number two, letter u.org. Joining me is the Vice President of United Israel World Union. The website is unitedisrael.org. That's unitedisrael.org. Welcome back to Truth to You, Ross Nichols.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jono. How you doing?
Doing really well. Really glad to, we didn't even plan this. It just so happened that you and I were free, and I thought, that's it. Haven't spoken to Ross for a while on Truth to You. Let's find out what's been going on. So what has been going on, Ross? What are you up to?
I tell you what, Jono, I have been really busy the past couple of weeks, and I've been having a blast. I went last week to Houston, Texas. It's about a 4.5 hour drive from here to see our buddy.
Where's here? Here is Louisiana, right?
Yeah, that's right, Louisiana. But it's only 4.5 hours from Houston, because guess who was at Houston?
Who was at Houston?
Our good buddy and tour mate, Rabbi Tovia Singer. I saw on Facebook. First of all, I can't believe that he didn't call me. I had to find out through Facebook that he's in Houston. So he was at Rod Bryant. Some of your listeners may know about Rod Bryant. He is a Noahide teacher and leader at Native. And so they were sponsoring Tovia. They brought him in for this special two-night conference. And a couple of my buddies from United Israel, in fact, quite a few of us, I think there were 10 of us in number, caravaned to Houston and got to hear Tovia talk a little bit about various subjects, and he even plugged our tour.
People are going, what tour? We're going back on, we've done it before. You, me, Tovia, we've done the Tanakh tour. This is the third Tanakh tour, I think, that we're doing this year, this November.
That's right. It's what they call in the sports world a three-peat. Like if you have three championships back-to-back, right. This is a three-peat for the Tanakh Tour.
That's what it is. Very much looking forward to it. People can find the details on that tour at truth2u.org. If you just go to truth2u.org, you'll see the Israel tour link. Just click on that. It'll give you all the details. But we're very much looking forward to that.
By the way, Jono, I can't believe that tour is not full yet. Are you telling me that there's still seats available?
There are still seats available. There are spaces, but the spaces are going very quickly. So we need people to register for that ASAP. And we would love to have you join us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we got to go to Houston. We had a wonderful time there. It's really a great time. Anytime you can get together with other people who are interested in, let's call it, things biblical, things Hebraic. There were B'nai Noah leaders. Stuart Federo was there. Some of your listeners know him. And quite a few other wonderful folks. So I even got to do a Torah study during the lunch hours, and a few people got to stick with me, and we went through the Torah reading. Great time. Then this week, things didn't slow down any. I went to our local Chabad Center in Baton Rouge for two nights back to back, and participated in a Shavuot celebration. It was really nice. I'm blown away that we have a Chabad in Baton Rouge, Louisiana now, and so I'm excited about that. And then this past weekend, we just made it through a weekend lock-in, let's call it, where people came in from different places and the local group, and some of us stayed here most of the night. Some, you know, went home and got a good night's sleep and came back yesterday for some more tourists.
By the way, did you put that on live on Facebook?
I did some of it on live, and I haven't posted those videos on my site yet, but we did do Facebook Live videos for a couple of the sessions. So
I dropped in on some of that.
Well, you should have. Did you throw out any questions that I might have missed?
No, I didn't. I just sat there silently because I just saw that you were live, and it was you and a whole group of people around some desks and whatnot. In the facility there in the United Israel World Union. What is that you've got there? What is this building?
We have three centers. One here in St. Francisville, Louisiana. We call it the United Israel Center South, and I have a Torah scroll, a wonderful library, a study center. Of course, I have my office here, a kitchen. It's a beautiful place. But we were here in St. Francisville. Of course, our headquarters and our executive offices are in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then we also have another center in the Northeast, in New York. Mm-hmm. So this is just one of three main points for teaching at United Israel. So yeah, it was a wonderful time this weekend. And then one more thing that I've got on my schedule immediately, and that's this coming Wednesday, June 7th. We'll be actually going to the state Senate because we have this wonderful representative at the state of Louisiana by the name of Valerie Hodges. Mm-hmm. And she's hosting a celebration, if you will, for the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem.
Very good.
So as I understand it, they're going to pipe in video feed of Prime Minister Netanyahu, a speaker from the Knesset, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and Ambassador Ron Dermer. So I'll be with many other people who love Israel. Let's call them lovers of Zion in the fine state of Louisiana this Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's really exciting. Now, listen, just because you mentioned 50 years, this is the year of anniversaries when it comes to Israel. And speaking of the tour, as we did just earlier on, we're going to be in Israel for the centenary, the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Beer Sheva. We'll be there for that.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you know, I'm excited because you've informed me, but it has something to do with these brave and heroic Australian and New Zealand Army Corps people, right?
It does indeed. It has to do with the Anzacs. In fact, the Australian Light Horsemen were the ones that broke through to Beer Sheva and take it and make it possible to water the animals and indeed the troops so that they could continue on. It was they opened the door for what eventually was the surrender of Jerusalem, the handing over of the keys, if you like, of the Ottoman Empire.
Absolutely. I went on after I heard from you. I went on and looked this up. This was a very key turning point at that time. I mean, it was just incredible. And that we're going to be there on the 100th anniversary is just really exciting for me.
It's really exciting because it's not many people know that much about it. And really, I really need to do more research on it. But my understanding is, Ross, that the reason why it's so significant, not only because it did pave the way to liberate Jerusalem, but a cavalry of that size, my understanding is that a cavalry of that size had not moved through that area successfully since Alexander the Great.
Amazing. I saw also when you and I were talking about this and I looked up a few points, one of the things that we're going to see related to this very subject that you're talking about is they're going to do a reenactment of the charge of a light horse brigade. So I'm excited about that. There'll be parades and it's going to be really an exciting time. I can't wait to get a little bit more information on this.
It's a historic opportunity. It's literally a once in a lifetime opportunity. So it's going to be amazing vibe there. But not only that, Ross, but the Balfour Declaration. Tell us a bit about it.
Absolutely. The 100th anniversary, many people will recognize and admit that, you know, even though the British, according to most of our historical records, even though they reneged on their initial enthusiasm for the State of Israel, it's this letter that goes forth that's hence called the Balfour Declaration, which in many ways sort of set things up for the transfer of Israel, the land of Israel, to the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we're going to be there on November the 2nd, now the tour is October 30th through November the 7th. Mm. The anniversary of the 100th anniversary of this Anzac victory is October 31st, as you well know. And then November the 2nd is the anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. So on the bus, we'll have opportunity to talk about these events and not only get to participate in parades and celebrations to relate these two key historical events, but just to be there, as you said, on the centennial of two very key points, which is, let me throw this in. This is one of the reasons I like touring with you, because as we talked about, it's not just about going to see these ancient biblical sites, which we truly, truly love to do and to show people. but it also is a way of bringing in, let's say, from the conquest of Canaan all the way up through what we would call the modern era. So, you know, we're going to bring in historical events and show people the modern reality of Israel, not just the ancient sites, which people get so excited about.
It's an exciting year all round for Israel, and it's going to be, as I say, it's a historic time to be there. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience such a vibe. I'm really looking forward to it. But just getting back to things that you are doing, can I bring up something that I'm participating in that you have started on Facebook, and that is the introduction to Biblical Hebrew. Both myself and my sons are sitting in. Now, it happens here in Australia. It happens on a very comfortable on Friday morning. On the Thursday evening there in Louisiana. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Wait, you're doing this and Jonah and Billy are both doing it with you?
Yeah, we're all doing it together. Absolutely we are.
Wow, three of my favorite people. Well, let me tell you, one of the things that I meet with on a fairly frequent basis is people will come to me and time after time they say, you know, I would love to study and learn Biblical Hebrew, but just like exercise programs, a lot of times people are very enthusiastic and they begin and they just don't have whatever they need to push through and get some level of proficiency. And so, you know, I've done the same for many, many years. I've purchased various programs or signed up for this or that program. And it just really is difficult to do on your own. So one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've been thinking about this for a couple of years now, is somehow provide people with the basics to get them started and get them over that initial hump so that they can become somewhat proficient in working in the Hebrew. And so I decided last year, about this time last year, I held a class and didn't publish it online, but it was with a local group, and I worked out some of the bugs. I think we did a pretty good job. And in just a few short weeks of instruction, we were able to get this group to the level of proficiency where they could actually read the text in Hebrew. Now that doesn't mean they're proficient at Biblical Hebrew, knowing all the rules of grammar. But here's what this course is basically designed to do. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time in the States, so I'll let other people figure out what that time is for them, through the United Israel World Union Facebook page, that's facebook.com/UnitedIsrael, we're going live on Facebook where you have audio and video, and the intent is each Thursday for about 1 hour, I'll take a section of material which is all aimed at getting people to where they can read by the end of the 5 weeks, which is roughly 5-6 hours worth of instruction, to where they can actually read Hebrew. So the focus in class one, which is posted not only on our Facebook page, but also on our unitedisrael.org site, under Hebrew Helps, I posted video number one. Video number one, which you and the boys evidently saw, was just to introduce people to the letters. So did you think that one went okay? I mean, kind of a gauge.
Honestly, it went really, really well. And I have to say, you are a natural teacher, Ross, and I appreciate your approach. And the boys agreed. I mean, I understood it. I felt like I learned things that I didn't know before. And the boys understood it. And we've been going over the charts that you supplied and doing a little bit of homework. It was really good.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, one of the best things that I can get is feedback from the people out there. And I'm trying to, if you noticed, we put together a Facebook group page. And I set that up as a closed group for the present, just because that way I know that people who are on there really want to be there. And so I'm posting documents and we're having discussion. It's sort of a help people along as they hit the roadblocks along the way. It isn't easy necessarily, but my commitment is that I will do everything in my power to get people at the end of the month of June to where they can work in the Hebrew. So again, the first class was on the Hebrew letters, and that's all we covered, just the 22 consonants and some I guess, interesting pieces that go along with that. So it's not just a dry recital of 22 letters. Mm. And then I'll move this week into the vowel sounds. And then week number three, we'll be getting into to the making of syllables. How do you kind of put it together? And then the final 2 weeks, one of my commitments is to go through reading exercises with the online and local group, the online audience and the local group, so that they get a practice of reading these words. And the words that I'm going to use are the top 64 words in the Hebrew Bible. In other words, there are 64 words in the Hebrew Bible that occur 500 to 5,000 times.
Ah, so you just shared that chart, didn't you? I saw that on Facebook, yeah.
Yep. So that way people, you know, you'd be surprised how much Hebrew that people actually know. Like, I happen to talk to you enough to know, and your familiarity with the Bible, you know words in Hebrew, and a lot of people would consider the pursuit of learning Hebrew to be very daunting. But think about all the place names and the people names and words that are associated with worship, from hallelujah, amen, various things like that. And one of the things that I do is, when I teach people to read, I will use words as they sound them out for the first time. I love to watch them, because I don't tell them what the word is, but I give them the tools to read it. Mm. And when they read it and they recognize, I just said amen. And they see it and they make the connection. It's quite incredible and it's really moving.
It's great. Look, and I just want to tell everybody, there'll be a lot of people that are listening going, well, wow, introduction to biblical Hebrew. I'd love to be part of that. I'm really ticked off that I missed the first one. But you haven't missed it, because Ross did record it. You can find it on the – now, can I give them the introduction to biblical Hebrew page?
Absolutely.
It's now, you'll find a link on this on Truth to You Facebook page. There's a link on the Truth to You study group. There's a link on United Israel World Union. There's links all over the place, but you'll also find it at facebook.com/groups/beginning biblical Hebrew. There's a video there of the first one. And the second one is not until Thursday evening, so you got time to do your catch-up. And there are charts as well that you can download from this page. I'm going to put a link. I'll put a link on this post.
Yeah, that would be great. If you put it on the post, and that way it just makes it so easy and convenient for people. And I would also like to say that there is a money-back guarantee on this course. Did you know that, Jonah?
I did know that, and that's because you're offering your services for free. It's very kind of you, by the way, because, I mean, this is – I know there's a lot of preparation that goes into this, and clearly from the first one you have done a lot of preparation. And each of them, I'm guessing, is going to run for about an hour, right?
That's correct. It'll be about an hour. And I haven't – you know, one thing that I wanted to point out too, even though I'll make recommendations for a grammar book or whatever – they don't need to purchase anything for this 5-week course, because the charts that, as well as the vocabulary list that I'm publishing, that's all work that I've already done, and it's my personal study work, and so there's no charge for it. So you get the Aleph Beit chart as well as the chart of vowel sounds, which we'll cover this coming Thursday, and you just download them for free. They're in PDF, and you can print it and share it with your family and friends, and that's what I hope happens.
So I have to say to people, this really is value for money. It costs you nothing. It is free. Ross is donating his time, very, very generous, because there are a number of weeks involved here. And he really has done the research. Get in on it. You have no excuse not to. Get in on it and catch up. There's only one video that's already happened. Ross has recorded it. You can watch that, and it's just basically familiarizing yourself with the alphabet. We're going to do vowels on Thursday night, Louisiana time. So I'm going to put a link on this post, because people really do need to take advantage of this. Even if you've done an introduction to biblical Hebrew before, but you're not immersed in the language, and this is the situation with me, I'm not immersed in it, and I just forget everything, Ross. So it's really beneficial for me to revisit so much of what you're doing, and I really appreciate it. So I would really encourage Truth to your listeners to get on board.
I appreciate that endorsement, Jono. And I would also say that even for those who are very fluent in the language, look, I'm a learner first, and I tell people I would certainly welcome constructive criticism as well. You know, I mean, let's say that someone is very, very well versed in Hebrew, they might want to log in and say, "Hey, Ross, I saw how you said this. Perhaps you could consider this, or, you know, because I want this to get better and better, and I hope to make improvements as I go along." And this first 5 week is just to get us to the point of where we're reading. But subsequent classes are going to be designed so that we can take people to the next level. So other elements of grammar will be following, hopefully, soon afterwards.
I'm looking forward to the next lesson. People who are coming on the tour, it is mandatory.
Yes.
Get on board.
There'll be a quiz.
There'll be a quiz on the tour. On the bus. There'll be prizes, too. We'll think of something. All right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There's that Introduction to Biblical Hebrew through United Israel World Union with Ross. I will put a link on this post. What else have you been up to? I know that you and I and Jason on Israel in My Mind, another program that we do on Israel News Talk Radio, recently we were talking about what happened at the UN. Now, that was a number of months ago. There was an anti-BDS conference at the UN, right? Just quickly tell us a bit about that.
That's right. You know, it was one of those things, as we discussed, it was in March, I believe on March 29th. Again, Facebook, thank God for Facebook. They posted, Israel at the UN posted this event, and they told about this great gathering that was going to take place at the United Nations in the General Assembly Hall. But get this, Jono, it wasn't to bash Israel. It's a rare event. It was designed especially for people who love Israel and support the Jewish state to come together for a one-day gathering in which they were setting things up. They hosted classes. They had speakers, very well-known speakers. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who's one of my favorite people on the planet. Natan Sharansky. It was just a who's who of Israel at the UN. And, you know, to walk in that place and people are waving Israeli flags and cheering for the Jewish state, it was quite moving. They trained us on various things from how to combat this. It's an anti-BDS, you know, boycott, divest, and sanctions, this evil, evil enterprise that's turned global, and it's aimed at literally trying to bring about the financial and reputable ruin of the Jewish state in both media and so forth. So this was designed to combat that. And we went to several of the training sessions. They taught us how to combat BDS online and various other methods to employ to present Israel in a positive light. So we're actually United Israel, through our weekly bulletin, people can sign up for that bulletin on my website. We're actually putting information that we learned from that conference on our weekly newsletter, our bulletin, so that people can start propagating a positive message about Israel. We're recording, we're actually posting various links to other sites and other helpful avenues at doing just that. So.
Now, when we spoke about this last, you mentioned that, of course, the founder of United Israel, David Horowitz, he was no stranger to the UN. Just quickly, in a nutshell, give us the rundown on David Horowitz and what is United Israel? A lot of people who are hearing you for the first time are saying, what is United Israel World Union? Some other people will remember you from Roots of Faith. Just give us an update. What is United Israel World Union, and what part did David Horowitz have to play at the UN?
Well, United Israel World Union, I am really, really pleased and proud to be part of this organization. It was founded in 1944 by the late David Horowitz. David Horowitz is a Jewish man. He not only was he a pioneer, a Zionist in the early days of Israel, but he lived in the city of New York for most of his adult life. where he was a journalist, a celebrated and highly awarded journalist at the UN. So now here's something about David at the UN. He was actually part of the United Nations before there was a United Nations, meaning he participated as a journalist through his own organization called World Union Press at the meetings that were convened to discuss the United Nations. So he was really there from the outset. He worked tirelessly as a reporter, even had an office at the United Nations. Here in my local facility in St. Francisville, I have photographs of David Horowitz, our former president at United Israel, with his finger in the face of people like Khrushchev, you know, where he would go to the United Nations and report on all these great world global events in his time. He wrote for several Jewish publications throughout the years. As I stated, he won many, many awards. I actually, in my desk drawer, because I haven't mounted it yet to give it its proper placement in my office, have a Lifetime Achievement Award that he received from the United Nations Correspondents Association, mm-hmm. an organization of which he was the president a couple of times during his tenure there. But just an incredible figure in terms of a true lion of Judah is what I've liked to refer to him as. He just really stood up for the Jewish state. And so it was a pleasure for me this many years later. He passed in 2002 at the age of 99. Mm. And to be able to walk into that United Nations where he so strongly defended Israel and promoted Jewish thought and so forth in those halls was quite moving because, as you know, the United Nations is not known for its friendliness towards the Jewish state. So David Horowitz really had an incredible career there, and we were able in some ways to enjoy walking back in the building yeah. that he so proudly spoke for Israel on their behalf. So,
and that anti-BDS conference is now a yearly event that's going to be happening around the same time each year?
It is, and I will be looking forward to going to that. Hopefully I'll be able to attend all of these for many, many years to come. Grant. And I would think that it would grow in numbers of attendees over the next several years because it almost, as I understand it, the attendance greatly improved from last year to this time. And I don't remember how many people came, but I think they said nearly 3,000 had signed up.
Grand. Well, that's wonderful. So, Ross Nichols, United Israel. The website again is United Israel World Union, UnitedIsrael.org, UnitedIsrael.org, where you are the vice president. Now, of course, it's James Tabor who is the president, right?
James Tabor is the president. I am actually one of two vice presidents. The other is Rabbi Dennis Jones, who is from the North Carolina area as well. And we have a very, very talented executive vice president by the name of Ralph Bunton. And Ralph is probably one of the people that I look up to more than any other person. He is a great historian, a wonderful writer, and he does a fabulous job on our website for people who want to know more about the organization. It's many, many years. Can read his exciting series on our website called Remembering David Horowitz. And so, of course, most of your listeners might know James Tabor, professor of Second Temple Judaism at University of North Carolina at Charlotte. He's a celebrated author. So I'm sort of the I don't know that I have the credentials that these guys do, but I have friends with great credentials at least.
Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the program and catch up with what you are doing. And I'm really looking forward to catching up with you in person on the Tanakh Tour this coming November, my friend.
Hey, let's do in the future, if your schedule allows. Why don't we do a couple of shows to highlight some of the great things we're doing on this tour coming up October 30th through Ooh, November 7th?
We can do that. Yeah, let's see what we can do.
All right. Sounds good.
There it is. Don't forget, dear listeners, Introduction to Biblical Hebrew, a free course you can't afford to miss. I'm going to put the link on this post, and we will see you there this Thursday night at, what is it, 7 p.m. Louisiana time?
7 p.m. Central Standard Time in the U.S., and people can plug that in. They can Google it and figure out what time it's going to be where they are.
There it is. Thank you, Russ.
All right. Thanks, Jono.